My name is Todd Callender. I'm a lawyer from the United States. I practice international law and live in the Caribbean. I am involved in what I guess is the recovery, the deliverance perhaps of our species in this fight, this genocide they call COVID. And it's actually, it's public health weaponized to make the human race extinct. If you look up a multilateral convention called the Agenda for the 21st Century, also known as Agenda 21, also now known as Agenda 2030. It's actually pretty clear in terms of the game plan that that they've been working out since 1992 in the Rio Climate Accords. In 1994, the UN held the Population Accords in Cairo, Egypt, where effectively all of the member nations agreed that the world was overpopulated and they had to eliminate 95% of the people on this planet. So that if you follow the playbook, there are three primary objectives: the elimination of private property rights. Klaus Schwab says you'll own nothing and be happy. How about that? The elimination of borders, that's the elimination of sovereignty. Of course, in the United States, Canada, Mexico, the borders are wide open. And lastly, the 95% reduction in the world's population. If you were the perpetrator of this crime, and what I'm saying is they are all part of this, every government on the planet effectively is part of this. If you wanted to get rid of 7 billion people, how would you go about doing that? And it made sense to me that this would be a military operation, right? You need the efficiency and efficacy and the broad reach and coordination that the military could offer. And that's exactly what happened, is the U.S. Department of Defense is being the lead perpetrator, but in coordination with a variety of other countries and their militaries. You know, if you wanted to get rid of God's creations, isn't this how you would do it? Wouldn't you make it a military operation? Wouldn't you make it hard on people to get other therapeutics? Wouldn't you, you know, make it difficult to get fuel and water? Wouldn't you make it difficult to get them food? Wouldn't you cut down their choices for food down to a few vendors that were on your side, and you would make sure had the same kind of drugs and contaminated foods that you wanted people to consume? All of those things have happened in the lockdowns, the suspension of everybody's human and constitutional or charter rights. The governments picked the winners and losers. You could go to Target, you could go to Walmart, but you couldn't go to a mom and pop shop. You could go and get a lap dance or a bottle of liquor, but you couldn't go to church. That's the level of control. That's the level of evil we are up against. And it is because they are Luciferians. I'll give you an example. The United Nations founding document is the Lucifer Trust. So don't doubt that we are in the final battle. This is God versus Lucifer. This is a battle for souls. I'm haunted, in fact, by Matthew 13:38, the harvesting of wheat and tares. If you wanted to kill 95% of the world, wouldn't you control the information? Right? But if you simply put yourself in their shoes, if your mission was to kill 7 billion people, how would you do it? And when you think it through, you'll find that they've done everything. They've planned this for 50 years or more. Every piece of law put in place to allow them to force people to take the shots or remove their bodily sovereignty, to, you know, lock people in their houses or jails, to suspend everybody's human rights. You know, all of that took a very, very long time to put in place. And I would submit to you that everybody that was in office as a decision maker in government was either complicit because they knew and they participated, or they were criminally negligent for stopping it. They knew or should have known. If we're going to save our world, they all got to go. If you look at the law surrounding the 2005 international health regulations, this is where the world came together and said, should there ever be a pandemic, we're all going to agree how we're going to react to this thing. Of course, it was all set up long in advance. I figure it took 40 or 50 years to get the laws in place. In March of 2020, the magic words were uttered, a public health emergency of international concern, which then required all of the treaty countries to enact the promises that they had in the 2006 regulations. And in the case of the United States, it created a substitute set of laws to the Constitution. You find them in 42 CFR Part 70 and 71, whereby everybody's constitutional rights are suspended except for certain powers granted onto the CDC, in fact, complete with passports to go across state lines, involuntary quarantining, treatment with whatever protocols and medications they so desire without any indication as to whether they're experimental or not. And in the case of the U.S. military, who was tasked with carrying this out, they actually sidestepped the applicable FDA regulations, and they made the shots themselves a COVID countermeasure, and then shipped it off across the world through this international treaty network under the 2005 international health regulations. And those treaty obligations remain in place, except for one thing. Prior to a couple of weeks ago, they required the observance of human rights. Right? The UN and the WHO talk about human rights throughout their constituent documents. And there are multilateral conventions that speak of that. The negotiations pre-approved by the U.S., by Mr. Biden, give away that ability to guard human rights. And so when the public health emergency of international concern is declared this time, on mere suspicion alone, by the way, mere suspicion of a communicable disease is enough to make this declaration. The U.S. military, and ostensibly all of the militaries of the world, will then be bound by virtue of these treaties to effectuate the mandates of the WHO. Not coincidentally, the public health apparatus was moved under the Department of Defense over the last 4 years through the National Defense Authorization Act. So what you effectively have is a chain of command from Tedros Adhanom, director of the WHO, down to the various militaries themselves, who will have the ability and the right to enforce with force, use of weapons if they so choose, quarantining and compulsory treatments. So here we understand that the COVID shots, all of them were gene modification technologies. None of them were well received. I have an understanding that less than half of the world actually took the shots. There's going to be a next time that Bill Gates says it, and there's already a good indicator that it's going to be Marburg. The reason I say that is Marburg is mentioned specifically in that citation, 42 CFR Part 70 and 71. In addition to that, there were Marburg provisions of the PREP Act. The PREP Act is one of the immunities granted through the COVID countermeasures, meaning that anybody taking part in providing these shots can't be held liable. There was special money earmarked should there be a Marburg pandemic that was put in 2020. And in 2021, Marburg provisions were in fact invoked. Our government said there's a Marburg outbreak. There was not one, and yet they used that money to build quarantine camps all over the United States. Myself and some colleagues actually interrupted them from building one in Cochise County, Arizona. We have the plans. We have all the intergovernmental agreements. Again, it's not speculation whether this is so. My point is that they've already spent the Marburg money. There is a Marburg outbreak in Africa right after they tested their Marburg mRNA experimental shots in the very same area. And we know that Marburg, that pathogen, was included as part of the contents in the COVID shots. Certainly in the Johnson & Johnson shots, there were 14 different strands of Marburg proteins put into that shot. We have evidence to indicate that they had Marburg proteins in all of the shots. So it's not much of a leap to understand that this next time will be a hemorrhagic fever. It'll be scary as hell because people bleed out of their orifices. It has a high fatality rate. And I think the goal of the exercise is to drive everybody into these quarantine camps that they built in order to deliver a round of these experimental shots that will either kill or transform anybody that receives them. We have reams of evidence in paper. Some of this is already put into our case in federal court. So I'm really not speculating here. And in terms of timeline, we have whistleblowers as part of our lawsuit. We had thousands and thousands of service members that came to us. Lots of federal agents, I mean, lots of people from all over the government actually came to us and said, please help. We understand what's happening. How do we get out of this? My point is some of those whistleblowers work for the federal government, including FEMA. FEMA has been doing Marburg exercises for many years now, and they've blocked out three quarters of this year for a biological hazard, just as they did for COVID. When combined with other factors, that seem to be amidst I would think that this will be in the next few weeks, not months. The reality is the perpetrators have been caught. And I think that they understand that if they don't finish the job, then they're going to be prosecuted and hung. There is some movement in that regard for a remedy to this, at least stopping it. So I think they're urgent. I think that they've got to get it done relatively quickly. I would think it's weeks, not months. I think that we already have the makings of a Marburg pandemic. One has already been declared in Africa. It's got a 30-day incubation period, which means that somebody from that part of Africa could travel to the United States, for example, and spread it without any symptomology whatsoever. It's not by coincidence that 300 people per day have been flown from that part of Africa to the United States. And Ebola or Marburg, both of them are man-made. They're more or less the same disease. They actually have patients in Los Angeles, in Denver, and I understand in Atlanta as well. What I'm trying to say, you've got a Marburg outbreak in Africa. You got 300 people a day coming to the United States, 30-day incubation period. That lends itself to support the conclusion that it is imminent before such an outbreak is declared. Please recall, it takes mere suspicion alone of a communicable disease outbreak for the director to make that declaration of those magic words. He already has that. You might remember, for instance, in last summer, he made the same declaration about monkeypox, despite the fact that the board around him voted against it. He made the declaration anyway. It's the declaration itself that mobilizes the response, and that makes him effectively the single most powerful man on this planet. The money is spent, given that they've been caught, given that all the prerequisites are already satisfied. There's literally nothing stopping them from doing it. And I think also economics has a lot to do with that. If you look at the insolvency of the U.S. government in particular, if you look at the IMF, for instance, has abandoned their special drawing rights as their currency, and they've moved towards monetary gold. All of the nations of this world, even counties of nations, counties and provinces, have been buying as much gold as they can. There are very key indicators in the U.S. economy in particular that there is about to be a horrible crash, you know, a crash like we have never seen before. And it makes sense to me that if there is such a crash, it's the most opportune time for them to seize power, military power, to effectuate their end goal, which is the transformation or death of every last human on this planet.
Now, the hospitals are basically empty. We're not having COVID cases on a day-to-day basis. I think all of this is big news. But the other thing that's come out, made the news cycle recently, is admissions from multiple government agencies that indeed the virus, SARS-CoV-2, was engineered in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, Biosecurity Level 4 Annex.